it is safe to state that the grandchildren of some of the people in this theater will not be born on Earth.
Seems like every generation finds a bad movie to love, where the title becomes a punchline, like Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Zombies guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
Bad movies that think they're good, like Showgirls.
Oh, I used to love Doggy Chow.
I used to love Doggy Chow, too.
And younger people today, their bad movie, possibly the Citizen Kane of bad movies, is called The Room. Krista Ripple takes us inside.
At midnight on a recent Friday, I stood in line to see a movie I've already seen four times, a movie called The Room. Most people online with me had already seen it, too.
It is like watching mental mayhem being manifested on the big screen. It is a movie that was never fully formed and was birthed very premature by somebody who should have never been a mother.
The basic plot of The Room is there's a love triangle between a guy, Johnny, his fiancée, Lisa, and Johnny's best friend, Mark. Lisa is sick of Johnny.
I don't love him anymore.
And now she set her eyes on Mark.
What's the matter? Don't you like me? I'm your girl.
Johnny's my best friend. All right, you're gonna be married next month. Come on.
They have an affair, full of melodrama and dialogue that I can't even really explain it.
I'm gonna do what I wanna do, and that's it. What do you think I should do?
One of my favorite zingers is from Mark in a moment of anguish.
You don't understand anything, man. Leave your stupid comments in your pocket.
It's not just the dialogue. The Room is full of characters who disappear halfway through the movie in gaping plot holes that are never resolved. One character tells her daughter she has cancer, and that's the last we hear of it. And then there are bits like the infamous flower shop scene.
Hi.
Can I help you?
Yeah, can I have a dozen red roses, please?
Oh, hi, Johnny. I didn't know it was you. Here you go.
That's me. How much is it?
It'll be $18.
Here you go. Keep the change. Hi, doggy.
You're my favorite customer.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Since it came out in 2003, The Room has developed a fan base around the globe. It shows in big cities, in college towns, even Paris and London. Hollywood stars like David Cross and Kristen Bell are fans. Going to a screening is a very Rocky Horror experience. You get to shout things at the screen and throw plastic spoons. The spoons thing is because there are framed pictures of plastic spoons decorating Johnny and Lisa's apartment. Why are they there? I've seen The Room four times and I have no idea. So I asked Tommy Wiseau, the movie's writer, director, producer, and star.
Oh, that's good. That's a good question. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the expression, plastic is cheaper than wood.
I'm not, no.
Well, this means that, long time ago, wood was inexpensive and vice versa. Now, the plastic is less cheaper than wood. So we produce a lot of stuff with plastic we cannot live without.
Okay, but why are there pictures of spoons?
So to respond to your question, that was on purpose to just provoke the audience, but I didn't, to be honest with you, very honestly, that I did not realize that people would actually, you know, throw a spoon, to the screen, whatever.
Wiseau is cryptic about a lot of things. He cultivates it. He has the black hair and pallid skin of a vampire. He won't say where he's from. And he's cagey about how he financed The Room. Wiseau claims that all along he was trying to create a black comedy.
No. I think Tommy tried to make a absolutely volcanically serious American drama. I think in his mind it probably is a serious American drama. And I think he's made a dollar out of 25 cents with the cultural status of The Room.
That's Tom Bissell. He's a journalist and a big fan of The Room.
The Room feels like it was broadcast from another planet. And the reason for that is just the weird formal conventions of filmmaking that Tommy recognizes, but he doesn't really understand. And so that is why The Room is never boring. That's why people can watch it over and over again, because it just feels so strange and mystifying to watch.
How many times have you seen it?
Over 50 and less than 100, I would say, probably.
Bissell wrote a book about The Room. His co-author is the only person who might be able to explain Tommy Wiseau.
My name is Greg Sestero. I co-starred in the movie The Room.
Greg plays Mark, the cheating best friend.
Why did you do this to me? Johnny's my best friend.
Greg and Tommy met years earlier in an acting class, trying to make it as professionals.
He was really the life raft that I had if I wanted to go out and pursue this. When you do things like this, your family's like, you're crazy, you're going to end up homeless. And it was refreshing to have somebody say, listen to the right voices in your head.
Tommy offered Greg his apartment in L.A. so he could be close to Hollywood. Then it got weird. Greg says Tommy was possessive. He'd call at all hours, leaving message after message. Tommy would copy things Greg did. They fought. Greg says it came to a boiling point when they went to see The Talented Mr. Ripley, the 1999 movie. It's about the relationship between two young men. A loser who attaches himself obsessively to his popular friend.
To be honest, I'm a little relieved you're going. I think we've seen enough of each other for a while. What? You can be a leech. You know that. And it's boring. You can be quite boring.
In the book, Greg writes about watching Ripley with Tommy.
I'd seen several movies with Tommy. He'd always get bored and restless before it was over. Or he'd shout, boring, in the middle of the film. There's better acting in the Gene Shelton class. When Ripley started, though, Tommy didn't talk. He didn't stir. He was wide-eyed and riveted from the very first scene.
Oh, we have to get you. Okay. Ah!
When the scene of Tom beating Dickie to death came to pass, Tommy actually leaned back and clamped his hand over his mouth. Even though if he didn't realize that he was seeing a part of himself, I think there's always a point when you're scared of not fitting in that you cut off before someone else can cut you off. And I think it sent a message to Tommy to explore that part of himself, even though maybe he didn't really realize exactly what the film was telling him.
That's Greg's interpretation. There are certainly similar themes in both movies, friendship, betrayal, a homoerotic undercurrent. I asked Tommy if Ripley was an inspiration for The Room.
The answer is no. You see, I'm speaking for myself, not what Greg applied, you see. His opinion could be different, so I have my own opinion, okay?
Here's Tom Bissell again.
Greg illuminated for me something that I had sensed but didn't know, which was that lying behind this movie was this immense well of real human emotion and, you know, basic human torment. I mean, the guy who made this movie is a complicated man, and he tried to communicate something deep and profound to him. The well of emotion behind the movie, I think you can just see it. And that's what makes it so hard, for me at least, to like look down my nose at it, because there's something about it that's just so sincere that kind of breaks your heart.
It's hard not to laugh at The Room. And in his public appearances, Tommy just acts crazy. I once saw him stagger around the stage like a zombie fighting off an Ambien. He pretends he's in on the joke. But if you watch this movie at home by yourself, it's easy to recognize how earnest it is.
I think it's creative people really respond to this movie the most. And I think that's because the average creative person lives in a state of constant doubt about their own artistic potency. And then you see this mysterious man just waltz onto the screen with as much confidence as like the Sultan of Brunei and just lording around the screen like he owns it. And yet his performance would be no one's estimation of competent acting.
You can love someone deep inside your heart and there is nothing wrong with it. If a lot of people love each other, the world would be a better place to live.
It's that brave, reckless earnestness that keeps people lining up to see The Room.
He's funny in an odd sort of way, in a sad sort of... He's like the born loser or something. But in any event, he's sort of inspiring through failure. In some way, he provides inspiration to sorts like me, you know?
And if that's hard for you to imagine, you should really just go see The Room and bring spoons. For Studio 360, I'm Krista Ripple.
If you're still having trouble getting your head around The Room, we've posted a clip at studio360.org. Greg Sestero and Tom Bissell's book, The Disaster Artist, is out now. You are my role. You are my role.